Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, good evening to everybody who's out there. You know, we're an internationally heard radio station now, our program. We've been checking our stats lately, and we've got like 9 or 10 countries that are checking us out on a regular basis. So that's quite exciting. We really want to thank you for tuning in and checking out the Transformation Cafe. We got a couple of regulars. Miss Gloria and Jamie are scooting at the table. So, Gloria, how are you tonight?
I am just so excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you be here. That's awesome, awesome. Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Well, Mr. Jamie, he's okay. He's calling from Seattle.
He's okay? And how is Seattle tonight?
It's nice. It's very nice. It's not too hot. Not too hot at all.
It cooled down a little bit here in Southern California as well. So did both of you guys check out we had like a supermoon. Isn't that what they call it?
It was called the supermoon,
you know what they,
yes.
A supermoon. The supermoon. Did you enjoy the supermoon, or were you even aware we had one?
I wasn't aware, and I've been so focused on some administrative tasks that I haven't seen it.
Yeah, they're saying that we just had one, and I think we're going to have a couple more this year. So that's pretty darn exciting. So, you know, it's one of those nights when it's so big and bright that you don't need hardly a flashlight. Here we go. So some wonderful things on that. So did you enjoy it, Jamie?
Sure. It was quite a spectacle.
It was quite the spectacle?
Hmm.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah. I was kind of wondering about that because I hadn't really been listening or been talking to anybody about it, but I thought, wow, that's a pretty bright moon. That's interesting. You know how that goes. You kind of just like notice it for yourself. So tonight, I've been doing my journaling class, which is called Journaling with Flowers. And for some of the listeners, they know that part of what I like to do is working with Flowerful Wisdom, which is working with the language and symbols of flowers. And we've been utilizing that into a journaling exercise that I'm putting together called Flower Journaling, Tapping into your Root of the Soul. So some of the things that have been coming up with that was one of the things we talked about, which I thought would be really cool to talk to Gloria and Jamie and anybody who wants to get into the chat room tonight about, have you been ever experienced, I know for lately, you know, kind of want to call them like a spiritual pop quiz, where you get this experience that you might have had in the past on some level, and it's almost like it comes back to see where you are with your experiences and how you're going to react to it this time, you know, when it comes to something like that. So, Jamie, have you had anything lately like that where it kind of came up for you and you went, oh, I've been down this road before, and how shall I choose to interact with it?
You know, I really never thought of it that way. I'll have to give it a little thought.
Okay. And Gloria, how about you?
Anything in the past in particular?
Whatever comes to mind.
I don't know if it comes with maturity or experience or exhaustion or realizing that when you go in a circle, you know, and you chase your tail and you expect different results, then, you know, that definition about doing the same thing and expecting something different.
And they call it insanity, right? Okay.
Exactly. And the idea of various things as I've looked at things that haven't turned out and the emotional responses that I've had, I know that I've developed an attitude that I'd much rather just kind of look at things from the distance before I react emotionally, because when I would get involved with an emotional reaction, it would literally, I would feel like somebody wrung me out like a dishcloth. You know, you're just so exhausted because you put so much into it and you've got so much energy and emotion invested in it. And And if it doesn't turn out the way you want it, you know, and you've been clinging to the idea of what you do want and doing everything in your power to make it happen, and then it doesn't. And it's very draining. And I decided that it's much better to just kind of distance and not really be attached to an outcome, and to look at the emotions that I actually expend, whether they're in me or out me. And it's really interesting, because after I got past that point, then I started looking at how I interacted with other people and the emotions that I gave to them and how that affected them. You know, I thought about it, and I thought, you know, this is not, if I don't do it in a positive way, it really makes a large impact, more than just between myself and myself or myself and someone else. It actually affects the dynamics of the environment that I'm experiencing and the world that I'm setting foot in.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking of
Out. I don't know if that's what you wanted.
No, that was perfect, because that was a Gloria answer, and it was perfect. I was thinking of a story that I'd heard. I can't even remember where it came from, the teachings, but there were two monks that were walking toward a river, and as part of their vows with their taking on the monk traditions, they were, you know, it was a level of chastity where they wouldn't look at women, not touch women. There wasn't any, you know, they basically had that vow of keeping themselves, sacred in that way. And they're coming up to the river, and there's a woman there standing there, and she needs to cross the river, and she doesn't know how to swim. And so she asks one of the monks if she can get on his back, and, you know, he'll let her, you know, he'll carry her across the river. And he says yes. So, you know, they proceed to go across the river and all that, and get, you know, they get to the other side. She gets down and basically goes, thanks him, and goes on her way. And then a little bit while longer, they've been walking probably for a half an hour, and the one monk looks to the other one and says, how could you have picked up that woman? You know, we've taken a vow that we wouldn't even look at a woman, let alone, you know, touch a woman or whatever. And the other monk looks at him and says, I put that woman down quite a while ago, and you're still carrying her. So it's that whole lesson of how am I going to respond, or how am I going to react to something that's just an opportunity and experience for my life, and what do I do with that? You know, and I think part of that story too for me is, you know, what we, you know, the looking at what people would think about a circumstance when they're, you know, they're an observer of it, and not necessarily someone who's in the middle of the experience, and the things that they've taken on or not taken on in their lives, and how they choose to respond to something. So that's always something that really helps me to come from a place of almost wanting to be a witness of my own life and the way that I respond and not respond to different stuff. So that's kind of where this whole pop quiz thing came. I had a circumstance today where I had my car towed because I was in a parking structure, and I got there a little bit later than I anticipated. And the people that ended up helping me to, you know, get my car back and all that were just kind of surprised that I didn't, you know, get mad or respond in a way of being frantic or whatever. And it just was, the universe was just creating this pop quiz for me and helping me to look at, do I have what I need, when a sense of people there who could help me to get what I needed. And I basically, you know, I was grateful, because it was a matter of knowing that, you know, there are people out there that are willing to help you and help you to get what you need, and that it can be, you know, as easy as it needs to be for a process, and looking from gratitude and appreciation opposed to being frustrated and looking at it from the other position. So for me, it was a matter of looking at it and just knowing that, you know, Earth got my back, and I'm basically getting what I need as I need it. So I just thought that was a really cool experience for me. But watching other people around me and, you know, seeing that I was going through that, a lot of people were apologetic and kind of amazed that I wasn't really, you know, very upset about it. And I was just like, getting upset doesn't help. It doesn't give you a level of being able to deal with it in a way. It just adds to something that doesn't need to be there. So that's one of the ways that I really wanted to talk about being able to, you know, come from that pop quiz and really looking at, you know, how am I now as opposed to other times in my life when I might have had that circumstance, And so that's the reason why I wanted to ask you guys if you'd had situations like that where it was a similar situation. And, you know, in your level of knowing yourself, knowing situations, how you're able to respond to that as opposed to just reacting to it in the moment and getting kind of caught up in what it could be instead of being able to just see it for really what it is on a level of growth.
Well,
that was
an
awful show, Gloria.
Yeah. The emotional, but see, I followed everyone. The emotional investment that comes into play, I had a phone call from somebody today that I'm not going to mention their name on the phone or on the radio, but their parent had contacted them, and there were some emotional things that happened, and it really left the person who called me, it really left them feeling very upset, and I'm sure that it comes from, you know, the emotional and connection, because it was a parent to a child. And the idea of having an emotional investment in whatever it is, it's a double-edged sword, and finding that balance so that you can look at not only the circumstances but also your own personal reaction. And I know that hasn't even come up for the person who called me yet, which I will have that discussion with them, but the idea of, you know, do I get emotionally invested in this or not? And because emotions are what create human relationships. And mm-hmm. depending on whether or not you are willing to be emotionally invested, I mean, that is a value. And so you've got a fine line that you end up walking. It's like, how do you stay in balance, and how do you still manage to come from a place where your emotions don't take you over and logic can help balance things out and prevail to the point where everybody will succeed and achieve, you know, what it is they want to do. And when words are said that hurt someone, and then there's the emotional reaction, it really puts a charge, and it causes pain. And I'm really sorry for the person that I talked to today, and I left them feeling better, yet the relationship that they're having with that other individual is something that needs to be looked at. And, again, you have to find balance.
Yeah, I heard it said this morning. I was at my business networking meeting, and one of the guys who's our financial advisor was saying that ultimately every decision is emotionally based. Do you think that's true?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Well,
the human desire. Yeah. Human desire is based on emotion. Emotion mm-hmm. is what leads us to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think about it, and if you really define it even further, emotion is energy in motion. I mean, obviously, that's not what he was talking about, but emotion is energy, and energy is based upon goals, desires, and aspiration.
So I guess in working with that and looking at, you know, again, we're talking about the pop quiz, that's that whole thing of, like, to me, it's the responding or reacting to something. It's slowing it down and being able to be mindful of that you know, situation or circumstance you've got in front of you.
Right.
So I
was just going to say that it takes that awareness. It takes that moment of taking a breath and saying, not only how is what I am going to say or do affect me, the people I'm working with, but also it's about taking that moment and saying to yourself, why am I reacting this way? You know, that comes into, you know, further introspection, looking deeper into who you are. And some people they don't want to be bothered. They're not aware that it's a possibility. You know, it all depends on where we are on our path in life, as to whether or not we're going to look at ourselves and how we contribute to our life and the domino effect that we create in the world around us.
Yeah, so I was thinking about that and having different ways that we could be engaged in that and helping ourselves to be developing what I want to call like an ageless wisdom about being able to come from that place of just really looking at the different circumstances of life. And, you know, we had talked on another show with Dr. Angie about the four agreements. And one of the things that the agreements talks about is taking full responsibility for your actions and your choices of life. Just taking responsibility for yourself. And I think that's kind of what we're talking about here is, go ahead.
My favorite is the Tao of War. The Tao of War. It talks a lot about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's just one of the higher levels of really inviting people to come to more of an introspection with themselves and what they've got going on with their world. It's just by coming from that level of, and we can take responsibility for ourselves, we really don't have that sense of being able to be that much more mindful about what's going on around us and within us.
And yet, we also have to be considerate of people because everybody has their own individual path and where they're at in that timeline of that path. And, you know, just like where I am today is not where I was 6 months ago. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I find that there are certain things I don't have the patience for, and there are certain things that I really wish I had the time for to, you know, really be feeling in balance. But yet it's not to be, and so it has to be put on the back burner. So you know, we can talk about it all we want, yet you know everybody is different, and we can't always know who's going through what, when, and why.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of a story of, what was that? I'm trying to remember the name of he was a, he had all those organizers. He did the organizers, remember, where he had all that? I'm trying to remember the name of the guy. Anyway, he had talked about
Are you talking about office equipment, or are you talking about the profession?
Office equipment. So it's like remember when the organizers first came out to help people to be task-oriented? And it was a system that they had came out with a organization for like a binder and stuff. But you had your calendar and all the different goals and things like that you want to create and all that.
I still have mine.
What's the name of the guy who put that together?
Franklin.
Franklin. Thank you. Yeah. I knew somebody would know.
It was a Covey Franklin. Franklin Covey.
Covey. It was a Covey. One of Covey's stories was he was on the subway once, and this guy came on. He had his kids, and they were running around like crazy. And Covey was just like, "My gosh, this guy is just not controlling his kids. What the heck is happening?" And the guy winds up sitting next to him, and he just kind of puts his head in his hands, and he goes, "I'm sorry for my kids, but I just don't know what to do. I just lost my wife." He winds up learning his wife has just died in the hospital, and he was so overcome with just, you know, being in disbelief at that point because of, you know, all the different stages you go through with having to deal with that. And so his kids were just dealing with it the way they knew how to deal with it. So it's like we can never know what's going on for another person with their situations. So it really just helps you to just, you know, always know that people are doing the best they can with what they know and when it comes to just who they are in that present moment.
Right.
Yeah. I've been listening to a presentation on being like Leonardo da Vinci, and one of the things that it talks about was how da Vinci was always writing in his journals, and of course he's really well known for his journals, is that being fully in all of your senses as much as possible, and to me that's being in the now, just being in a present moment with yourself and engaging with yourself with everything that you have around you. And being able to have that be something that really helps you to, you know, come to those pop quizzes and embrace them in a way that really helps you to develop as a person. Thinking about, you know, with just all the different senses that you would be working with. So is there something that really has helped you when it comes to, like we're saying, you know, taking that deep breath and really just kind of being in the moment and maybe doing that inquiry of, like, you know, what is this about? Or, you know, what's true right now in this moment? Is there anything else for you, Gloria, that you can think of that's really been really helpful?
Well, since you know me and you know how ADD I am,
mm-hmm.
you would or ADHD, or that hyperactivity aspect. It might surprise you to hear that I have had to, and this comes from working in hospitals, I've had to detach emotionally from mm-hmm. a lot of things. And I use the hospital as an origination point, you know, because one of the things that I had heard was, you know, I used to think that when I was there to help people and to work with them and to care for them after they had been injured or were hurt and, you know, they weren't feeling well, was to be empathetic and to be there for them. And I heard someone say that if you are too attached and involved, you are not effective in your job. And you can't help them if you're not effective. And so that was the beginning of my journey of learning to detach a little bit. You have to stand back because, you know, say, for example, I had an infant in front of me, and we were putting, we had to put in an IV into this little baby's arm, and the baby is crying and screaming, and the parents are beside themselves because they are emotionally invested in the welfare of their child. And as a professional, if I were to stand there and wring my hands or to be upset and say I couldn't do it, I'm not helping either one of them. And so I had to set my emotions aside and to make sure that the infant was properly restrained. And it may sound bad, but if you don't restrain someone and they're fighting, they will injure themselves more when you're doing, or you could get injured and stuck with a needle. There was so many things that, you know, you had to put aside for the moment. You could be concerned and you could be emotionally aware, but to be invested, it wouldn't get the job done and it wouldn't help them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, for detachment, for me, one of the big things I learned is for a while I was studying Ikebana, which is a Japanese floral design practice that the monks would use to be able to create floral arrangements and things like that for their altars and things like that. And one of the things while I was learning how to do that was my instructor would put a whole bunch of flowers in front of me with a container, and I would make something from just being a, you know, westernly trained in design. And then as soon as I got done with it, she'd say, take it apart and do it again. You know, and every part of me was like, what? This looks good. Why would I take it apart?
That reminds me of when I was scuba diving, and it was my first boat entry. And I had never done a backward, you know, where you, like, fall over the edge type of entry. Mm-hmm. I'd always done where you either walk into the ocean or you do, you kick your leg out and extend and jump in legs feet first. And I thought, you know, I want to do this. And so I had someone who was on the boat, and they said, well, you know, they gave me the instructions and I did it. And I came up and I looked at them and they said, you did it wrong. You have to do it again. And I started to climb back up on the boat. It's like, okay, fine. I'll do it again. If I have to do it right, I'll do it right. And they looked at me and they said, no, we're just teasing. You did fine. See, I don't look at it that way. I look at it from the standpoint that if I want to do something, I want to do it to the best of my ability.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say that with your flowers, that it was the same thing, because each time is going to be different, and yet each time will be the same.
Yeah, but you know what? I really learned after, I mean, it took me a little while, and it was so interesting because I was telling a friend about that, and my daughter, my younger daughter, Katie, was with me when she was younger, and you know, I bring my kids with me depending on what I had going on with my other stuff, and she shared that with me. I had totally forgot that the first, like, three or four times I would literally be driving home crying because it was so hard for me to let go of that, that idea in my head that, you know, why would I take it apart and put something else together? It was just upsetting to me. And I didn't remember that. I was just like, wow, I don't remember that. You know, but for her, it was just really, you know, watching, can you imagine watching your mom, you know, frustrated and dealing with something, you know, that, you know, there's a part of me just like, oh, I should have been better about that. I'm like, what kind of a model am I? I guess I'm a good model because it shows coming from a creative frustration on something. So have you ever had that, Jamie, where you're working with something and, you have that kind of a situation where, you know, it's that change and change and change. Have you had that with any kind of designs or paintings and stuff that you put together?
Well, there's a difference between my work and my artwork. I get to deal with people in the moment and have a short amount of time to provide them with whatever, I mean, a tattoo style thing. Now, the artwork is much easier because I'm not having to deal with a live person. And the canvas or the paper doesn't ooze and swell and move and react to something. So it's much easier for me to do my own art than to actually deal with people on a level that way. I'm there to provide a service and like I said, I try to help them find that whatever they're looking for, and if they can't, then we step back and, you know, we think about things. I'm just one individual, so they may take the benefit of my experience or not. So a lot of times you only have one time to do something correctly, or else you could do it again, I guess, but not with a tattoo, so...
I said that was going to be my next comment. It's kind of a permanent thing, so, you know.
Well, it is as permanent as you think it is. I mean, you can get them removed now, but why get them if you're going to get them removed? I don't know. I'm not there to, for the reason I'm there to provide a service. So it is a strange exchange.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that you can have a sense of detachment about it when you're putting, once there's the commitment of somebody wanting to have that committee?
Well, as much as a sense of detachment in the fact that I don't have to wear the thing, they do. And if somebody's sitting there going, ow, 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 it doesn't really make my job any easier, so you just kind of have to turn that off. Now, if they're having too much of a problem, then you stop, you know. Obviously, there's a commitment on both sides of the issue, and especially with something in a permanent nature, you know. Yes, it's a strange business, but then that's just my point of view, so.
Yeah, it's a good point of view. It's your point of view. So has there been anything there that you, like we were talking about, you know, being in the now, kind of engaging with your senses, and then, you know, being willing to take personal responsibility for really recognizing the things that are going on in your life? Is there anything else that you thought of, Jamie?
That I should be taking more personal responsibility for, or?
Well,
or
no,
not,
it's been like cultivating a level of, you know, things that you've learned from having those situations come up and being able to look at it.
Well, I feel that, you know, if somebody has a reaction to a certain way, I'm able to deal with it, I imagine. I can't really, I don't know anything about outside of my sphere of influence. Again, people seek me out. I don't, you know, kidnap people and tattoo them against their will or anything, you know.
Has that ever happened?
not in my knowledge, and maybe it has, but not. I'm sure people have been probably been tattooed against their will, I imagine, somewhere down the line.
So.
I mean, you know, if you really want to go back to it, it would be like the Jews in the Holocaust. They all got tattooed, but you know, it wasn't anything they liked, and it was a mark of it was an infamous mark. So you know. I mean, you could look at it a lot of ways, but in my experience, you know, you have to deal with people in a very personal and in-depth and a permanent nature.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that makes any sense, but.
That should make perfect sense, Well, like normal, you know, 30 minutes goes super fast for us when it comes to being on the show. But I just thought that was just something to really look at when it comes to, you know, where am I with different experiences and how do I work through that. So I thank you guys for your input. I think it's something that we all could really appreciate and look at it from a level of being able to be appreciative and grateful for those things that, you know, some people could be complaining if somebody cut you off, but it can be also an opportunity to appreciate the fact that you can respond and have a choice of, you know, whether you get mad or just recognize that that person may be in a hurry because somebody's having a baby. You never know. So it's all good. So, again, thank you guys for joining us here at the cafe, and we'll see you next time.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.